Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just hope you're having a good day today. I know some of you are going through rough times, and I've been praying for the ones I know about. And I just ask God to bless you and help you today to face whatever you have to face. I think each one of us need to take seriously the fact that we need to be up to date with Jesus Christ. We know that the rapture is coming. The signs are out there. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to ask the question today, what to do if you miss the rapture? What would you do? It had been a wild few weeks. Jesus had been arrested. He was crucified. He resurrected from the dead. He has appeared various times. And now here they are on the Mount of Olives, trying to hear what Jesus is about to say, trying to learn his plans for the future. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus was giving last-minute instructions to about 500 of his followers that had gathered together. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Suddenly, he was caught up into the clouds. How exciting that would be to be there and watch Jesus and try to hear him. All of a sudden he starts raising up and going into heaven. They watched with craned necks, trying to see what was going to happen or where he was going. Two angels standing nearby said, "Don't just stand there, get to work. Jesus will come back the same way you saw him go." In fact, let's read about that in Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11 in the New King James Version. It says, "Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" I'll briefly mention some of the signs the Bible warns us to watch for as we wait for Jesus to come back. Just like he went into heaven, he's coming back. We know that Israel was supposed to become a nation again on May 14, 1948. That's exactly what happened. This nation that had been dead for 2,000 years, the people had been spread out. That virtually there was no nation of Israel, but on May 14, 1948, it was resurrected and became one of the major players in the world today. It said there's going to be pestilence. A fatal epidemic disease. I guess probably COVID-19 pandemic was part of that. I think there's more to come, and I believe that you and I need to be in prayer for wisdom and guidance as we face the days that are coming. So there'd be famines. Well, there are famines in our world right now, but we understand there's a food shortage on the horizon, and there'll be famine here in America too, and we've got to pray and ask God to help us to have his wisdom there. There's going to be natural disasters, earthquakes, floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes. Need I say more? Watch what's happening in our world today. There will be wars and rumors of wars, nations against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's taking place. False messiahs, false prophets, persecution of Christians. There are Christians that are being betrayed and killed. That's what it says is going to happen. It said there'll be a one-world religion. January in 2014, Kenneth Copeland hosted a conference of charismatic pastors, which concluded with Pope Francis declaring that the Protestant movement was over, and he was inviting the pastors to come back to the Mother Church, the Catholic Church. Pope Francis and the Grand Imam Al-Azhar signed a historic declaration of fraternity at Abu Dhabi on September 14th and 15th of 2022, calling for peace between nations, religions, and races. And they declared that Chrislam, which is a combination of Christian and Islam, is declared the one world religion. There's supposed to be a one world economy. We're seeing things working towards that very fast right now. The Great Reset working hard to devour our money, or to devalue our money, and use digital money to gain control of our buying and selling. Check Matthew chapter 24 to see what Jesus said about that. We're supposed to have a one world government. That's one of the signs. And we see that it's working very hard to try to unify the world and get rid of borders and have a one world government run by one man. The Euphrates River is drying up so that the kings of the east can invade Israel. And that's one of the big signs. Revelation 16:10 said, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Watch what's happening in China. They're building a big army. I mean, they're making threats and rattling their swords. Things are on a fast track now. We are seeing these warning signs develop daily. Jesus told a parable warning us to be prepared. In Matthew 25:1-13, he said, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him for the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" That represents Christians waiting for the marriage feast of the Lamb. Some are prepared, some have not made proper preparation. The unprepared will be locked out, wanting to be in, but be denied entry. Where are you? Are you living in such a way that you would get into the wedding, or are you going to be locked out? Anyhow, many preachers and churches disbelieve the rapture today. In fact, I read that 75% deny this biblical truth. The majority of churches preach a watered-down gospel, kind of just ear-tickling things. That's what Paul said in the end times. People will not endure sound doctrine. They'll want their ears tickled. Imagine the people that are living like that. Imagine the panic they're going to have when they discover that the rapture was a true event and that they had been left behind. Most Christians have been lulled into a false sense of security, and they had better wake up. It's kind of like in Noah's day. People didn't believe the danger until it started to rain, and then those outside the ark suddenly wanted to be inside the ark. Imagine hearing the pounding and the screams outside the ark. I was thinking about Noah's sons' wives, and their family would have been outside the ark, and it must have been a very heartbreaking situation to hear all the people out there saying, "Let us in, let us in." Think of the people when suddenly Christians, think of what's going to happen when suddenly Christians all over the world disappear. Paul told us that that is exactly what will happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those things or those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, but who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heavens with a cry of command, from the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another. You know, there's no need for anyone to be caught off guard, to be caught by surprise, because the signs are everywhere. The May 1984 National Geographic magazine showed color photos and drawings of the swift, terrible destruction that wiped out the Roman cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum in AD 79. The explosion of Mount Vesuvius was so sudden that the residents were killed while in their routine, their everyday routines. Men and women were at the market, the rich in their luxurious baths, slaves were working. In fact, there's one man that's been petrified. It looked like he was reaching after some pearls, and the volcano hit him, and he was frozen in history just like that, just his figure reaching after these pearls. They all died amid volcanic ash and superheated gases. Even family pets suffered the same quick and final fate. It doesn't take much imagination to picture the panic on that terrible day. The saddest part is these people didn't have to die. They had been warned. Scientists confirmed that what ancient Roman writers recorded, that weeks of rumblings and shakings before the actual explosion, and there was an ominous plume of smoke clearly visible from the mountain that appeared days before the eruption. If only they'd been able to read and respond to Vesuvius's warnings. It's like when Mount St. Helens erupted on May 18, 1980. Harry Truman, the lodge owner, David Johnston of studied volcanoes stationed near the volcano, and Reed Blackburn, a photographer who was documenting the event for National Geographic, they all died. There are rumblings in the world right now, as I've already listed. While not exactly new, these point to a coming day of judgment described in Matthew chapter 24. We don't need to be caught unprepared. God has warned and provided an escape to those who pay attention to all these rumblings. God help you not to miss the rapture. But the question I've got, what will you do if you do miss it? First thing I'd say is don't panic. I mean, you were going to hell anyway if you didn't know Jesus as your Savior. It's just your imagination that makes you think you're not in great danger right now. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You've been warned before, and you've never gotten excited about it before, so why get excited now? Truth is, you were as damned 20 years before you missed the rapture as 2 seconds afterward. The rapture will just make the truth a reality. Some say, "Well, I'm special. God won't let me go to hell." John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, you can start working your way to heaven. The Holy Spirit and the church will be removed at the rapture. They are the only things restraining Satan now, and they will be taken to the marriage feast of the Lamb. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time." It's talking about the Holy Spirit and the church restraining Satan right now. There'll be no witness of the Spirit to guide and encourage you after the rapture. The age of grace will be over, Now is the age of grace when you should accept Christ. At that time, you will not have that grace from God that will help you to feel the need and know when you've been forgiven. It'll just be an age of grit. You'll just have to work your way to heaven without assurance. You must have thought you could anyway. Many depend on church attendance or clean living and good works, maybe money to the church or charities. That's going to help them get to heaven. No, you've shunned the gospel of the grace of God. You've refused to surrender to God and let him control your life. You've always talked about living it. Well, you'd better start. Matthew chapter 24, 13 says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." You despise those who didn't live it in your sight, calling them hypocrites because they didn't meet your preconceived standards for a Christian. Of course, you didn't meet those standards either, but you could always excuse your actions and make yourself an exception. Now it's time to get serious and show how to live a Christian life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, "And the dragon was enraged with a woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, chapter 14, 11, and 12 says, "And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, you better make the best of your situation, because you'll be here for a while if you miss the rapture, at least 7 years, if you survive. Jesus warned he is coming back for his people, but you thought you had more time and would get serious about accepting Christ later. Now you're having to, at that time you thought you were having too much fun. How could you know it would be happening so quickly? Because Jesus said it would, that's how, but you thought you were, there would be more warning. You didn't read your Bible, so you didn't understand these warnings. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book." While on the South Pole expedition, British explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton left some of his men on Elephant Island, promising that he would return. Later, when he tried to go back to get them, huge icebergs blocked the way. But suddenly, as if by a miracle, an avenue opened up in the ice and Shackleton was able to get through. His men were ready and waiting and quickly scrambled aboard his ship. No sooner had the ship cleared the island than the ice crashed together behind them. Contemplating their narrow escape, the explorer told his men, "It was fortunate that you were all packed and ready to go." And they said to him, "We never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was clear and ice, clear of ice, we rolled up our sleeping bags and reminded each other the boss may come today." You know, if you'd paid more attention to God's urgings, you'd have been ready and not be worrying about what's coming next. By the way, what is coming next? Should you be alarmed? Try to imagine what someone left behind might think, trying to encourage themselves that maybe things aren't so bad. It'll probably not be as bad as I thought, because a very personable world leader with a charismatic personality has stepped forward to pull the world together after this tragedy. Thank God such a man was around to step up when the world needed him. He's organized a one-world government to ease the friction and misunderstandings that have torn the world apart all these centuries. He's forged a peace treaty between the Arabs and the Jews that has to be a miracle of some kind. He promised unity and peace that the world has always craved. He says it's better that Christians are gone because they generated so much friction and controversy with their exclusive religious ideas. The world economy is in the sewer because of all the inflation and extreme spending. Not one country has a financial system that's solvent. A world currency system is the answer, and he's creating a common currency throughout the world to bring a semblance of sense in buying and selling. Actually, this new economic standard has done away with cash and checks and credit cards, which to me seems like a good thing. They've been replaced by a mark. We're talking maybe an RFID chip that's put on your left wrist or your forehead. How wonderful, because it'll monitor your health needs. Most children were taken in the rapture, but the ones being born now will never get lost. It'll track buying and selling and cut down on your personal record keeping. What a great idea. This world leader is really thinking. Now there'll be no more identity theft, embezzling, stealing, buying things on the black market. It's easy to replace a credit or debit card or a checkbook if it's lost, but you lose cash or it gets stolen, but nobody can steal or misplace your head or your arm. Wow, why hasn't somebody thought of this before? It'll stop illegal sales of guns, drugs, and contraband. Every transaction will be monitored. People will not be able to cheat anymore. So you lose some freedoms. That'll make a better world. I don't mind sacrificing some freedom for the good of mankind. There's now a one world church with a one world religious leader heading the one world religion. That has to be better than hundreds of denominations and dozens of world religions looking down their pious noses at you and always competing and quarreling about which one was right. The Pope was the visionary that put the program together with world religious leaders on May 14th and June 20th, 2020. I'm pleased with how harmonious the world's been these last 3 years. I no longer worry because I miss the rapture. The world's become a utopia. What's this? Our beloved world leader declared himself to be God in the most holy part of the rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He is demanding that we worship him. The Jews aren't taking this so well. He didn't say anything like that 3 years ago he took over. We thought he was a godsend, not God. Things are looking bad. I'm really scared now. The announcement came that there'd be a massive persecution of the Jews and anyone refusing the mark. To take that mark or chip means I have pledged my allegiance to this ruler. Refusing the mark means I will be beheaded. I can't trust anybody. People are turning each other in for the slightest infractions. Even family members are betraying each other. Getting arrested could mean a re-education program in a prison camp, torture, or even death. It's strange how so many plagues, storms, and earthquakes have happened lately. Who ever heard of the seas and fountains of turning to blood and the sky raining fire and brimstone, which is burning sulfur, mixed with blood or hailstorms, with hailstones weighing 120 pounds, and all these earthquakes, quakes. Two strange old prophets are camped near the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, warning people not to worship the world leader. They call him the Antichrist. They say, don't take his mark. They've annoyed people for 3.5 years now. Some people speculate they're Old Testament saints, Elijah and Moses, that were sent back to earth to warn us. If I refuse the mark, I can't buy or sell, and my family's going to starve. Besides, I'd risk my life by refusing to pledge allegiance to the world leader. These weird old prophets engage almost everybody in the world, enrage them. I mean, it would be better if they died and we could all find peace once again. How strange when people try to remove them and they are consumed by fire. Something seems to be protecting them. Food is scarce. We are all in famine. It costs a whole day's wages just to get a loaf of bread. An eagle crossed the sky the other day screeching, "Woe, woe, woe to the people of the earth, because judgment and much harder times are coming." How can we take harder times? God's about to pour his undiluted wrath out upon the earth. I'm scared. I wish I'd been ready for the rapture. Things aren't as great as they seem to be at first. I took the mark because I wanted to eat. Now I'm damned to hell with no hope. I wished I'd been ready when Jesus came for his church at the rapture. He's coming back to establish his kingdom, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, and I will be thrown in the lake of fire where we'll burn forever. Oh God, things are so horrible. Is there any mercy? I wished I'd been ready. I've imagined some of the thought process of those who will miss the rapture. At first, it won't seem so devastating because Satan is a liar and he wants people to worship him. But as the 7-year tribulation continues, it will be a million times worse than anything else that we can imagine. Even Stephen King won't be able to imagine how awful it will be. And then after that, eternity in hell. Well, I do have good news for you. You don't need to be here for the tribulation. Jesus died so that you don't have to collect the wages of sin. Hell was not created for you. If you go there, you will go as an intruder. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 30:19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." That promise is for you. It's for me. It's our choice. You can avoid the tribulation in hell if you want to. You need only to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to save you. Why would you even hesitate? We don't know we'll be here during the rapture, but we do know that one day we are going to face God, and it's time to make sure that when we face him, we know him because of the blood shed for us by Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'd say get right with God by accepting Christ as your Savior, and then you will experience God's love, and you will be at the marriage feast of the Lamb instead of experiencing God's wrath on a sinful world. Oh God, I pray that you'll help each one of us today to take seriously the warnings that have been given to us, that we might realize that it's not just fiction. But one day you are going to come. You're going to take first your saints out of the world at the rapture. Then there will be 7 years of hell on earth during the tribulation. And then, Father, after that, there's going to be the great judgment, and people will be led into hell, or else the ones that have been saved and came back with you at the rapture will be able to go into heaven for all eternity. I would ask, Jesus, you'll search each heart today that's listening to this, and each one of us will realize now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Help us to reach out to you and to understand your love and how you want us to be with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I will be preaching tomorrow at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. I would invite you to come. Services will be 10 o'clock Sunday school. My wife will be teaching the adult class tomorrow. 11 o'clock morning worship. And I will be preaching at morning worship tomorrow. I would invite you to come. I know that the church would really welcome you. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. My mailing address for the snail mail is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. My text, if you wanted to text me, it's 623-845-2741, or you can use that same number for a phone call and talk with me there. I will be praying for you, and I hope that you have taken advice today, that you'll get your heart ready to accept Christ and know that He's your Savior when the time comes for the rapture or when you get called home to eternity. In Jesus' name.